puts that switch on and you can start hearing me over the thing, you know. And we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God. And this is something that in our lives is the only thing that can actually cause us to find happiness after we're saved. A person after they're saved cannot find happiness unless they're seeking the kingdom of God. You just can't do it. And so I'm going to continue to talk about that probably for the next several Sundays. I'll try to make the messages pertinent. I'll try to make them messages that aren't way out in left field where you can't understand what I'm talking about. I work at that. I try. And so that's what I'll try to do with these messages. In order to seek the kingdom of God, a person must first be set free from the bondage of sin. There are a lot of people that do not know what it means to be set free from the bondage of sin. And there are church members that do not know, bona fide, legitimate church members, saved and scripturally baptized, that really don't understand what it means to be set free from the bondage of sin. We're born under the bondage of sin. We come into this world under the bondage of sin. And a lot of people don't understand just how free they are set. When Adam sinned, did you ever stop to think about, he didn't murder anybody. He didn't steal anything. He didn't commit adultery on Eve. Of course, it's been pretty hard since she was the only woman down here. But what he did, if you really stop and think about it, in modern day terminology, now what he did was bad, I admit, it's bad. But by the way we think about things, it wasn't so bad. All he did was just, God told him, don't eat of that, and he ate of it willingly. He didn't know what he was doing. If that had been one of your kids, what would you have done? If that had been one of your kids, what would you have done? Well, you'd have done probably what I would have done. You'd have got the kid and you'd have spanked it and said, don't do that again. Well, why would you have done that? Because you're like you are and I'm like I am. We're not perfect. We aren't. Why couldn't God have just said to Adam, Adam, I told you not to do that, spanked him, and said, don't do it again. There's a very good reason. There is no one like God. No one. God is just. God is perfect. God is fair. By his very character and nature, God cannot and will not do anything that would actually shed his true, genuine perfection. And one of the characteristics of God that's directly involved in all the things we call God's plan of salvation is the fact that God is just. God is just. And because God is just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus, to spank him, God would not have been just. You say, well, how do you know that? Because God says he wouldn't have been just. He said that Christ suffered and bled and died, that he, God, might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. You know, the governor of Arkansas can pardon a condemned man. The president of the United States can pardon a condemned man. God had to be just because he's God and there's no other way, and God can't be anything but just. The president can pardon a killer. The governor can pardon a killer. But after he's pardoned that killer, he can't justify what the man did. He cannot justify what the man did. God has to justify himself in everything that he does because he is God. That's why God didn't just spank him and tell him to go away and don't do it again. Because God, in order to pardon Adam, and in pardoning Adam, he provided a way where he could pardon us all. God had to actually try sin and put it to death. And that's what God did in Christ. Christ came, and Christ, by the action of God the Father, took sin that Adam had passed to all of us, and Adam himself possessed. Sin is disobedience to God. And he took sin, and he put sin on trial. And when Christ died, Christ took our sins in his own body on the tree. And as the Son of God, he died for us, and sin was put to death. Sin was put to death. Sin was put to death. That's why the Bible says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with God in Christ Jesus. When you come to Christ, what happens is he takes your sin. Jesus went in a courtroom with sin and bore that sin in his own body, and sin was put to death. He put to death the guilty man. God put to death the guilty man in himself that he might be just. That was the only just way. And the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. There was no other way. A governor can pardon a man, but he can't justify what that man did. A president can pardon a man, but he can't justify what that man did. But God not only pardoned man, but God justified man by what he did, even though man was guilty. And that's what Jesus did. And that's why he took our sins in his own body on the tree. So when I came to Jesus Christ 54 years ago, sin was put to death for me in the body of Christ. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you still sin. He put to death sin in the flesh. That's why he came in the flesh. That's why he took the sins in his body of flesh. He put it to death and justified man forever. When I came to Christ, God justified me before himself forever because Christ put to death my sins in the flesh. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you still sin. I know. But now I have a live, bona fide advocate with the Father who I go to, and he forgives my sins. But God had to be just and the justifier of them which believeth in Jesus. Some people never realize how free they're set from the bondage of sin. And the rest of their life, they fight against sin in their life as though they could overcome it. Should you fight against sin in your flesh constantly? Should you wage a battle from sunrise to sunset? Absolutely! But while you're waging that battle, you need to realize that there is no sin that you can ever commit that will send you to hell as God's child, because Christ put to death the sins of the flesh by taking them on his own body, and God will not hold you accountable because you've been taken out from underneath the condemnation of God, and you're going to heaven no matter what. You say, well, you mean I can sin and get away with it? Oh, no, you're going to be punished. You're going to suffer for it if you don't confess it. But if you confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Now, this is a very important principle because a lot of people don't understand that principle. And there are a lot of people that we call believers. And everybody says, well, they're believers. They're not going to hell. So let me ask you this question. Is it possible, and I put it in quotes, for a believer to go to hell? Is that possible? Let me answer it this way. It depends on what is believed. A true believer, no. They won't go to hell. But is it possible for a so-called believer to go to hell? You say, well, that person's a believer. He's not going to hell. It depends on what is believed. The Pharisees believed. They believed. But they did not believe that Jesus had power to forgive men of all sins, past plus present plus future. Now, let's get back to this bondage thing. Let's get back to that. If I am still under the bondage of sin, if I am still held accountable for my sin and it can send me to hell, then I have not been passed from death unto life, and I'm still under the condemnation of God. But Christ put to death sin in the flesh. The Pharisees believed, but they did not believe that Jesus had power to forgive men of all sins, past, present, plus future. A lot of people don't like to hear this. They get irritated about it. But you might as well know the truth. You've got a lot of people meeting this morning in a lot of buildings just like this. And you like a lot of these people. And some of them may be your relatives. And some of them may be your friends. And you don't like to think about this. And I'm not asking you to think about it. But I am asking you to realize something. Someone says to you, I know Jesus died for my past sins. I know that. But there's no way that Jesus could have died for my future sins. If Jesus didn't die for your future sins, you're headed straight for hell. You know what security of the believer is? Security of the believer means that Jesus died for your future sins. It means that you understand that he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. You understand that there is no sin you can commit that will send you to hell. And yet, all this morning, in buildings all around this town, and some of them are Baptist churches. Some of them are Baptist churches. You've got people sitting there that believe if you run into a tree and you've just committed adultery on your wife and you don't have time to confess it and you run into that tree and die instantly, well, you're going to hell. Those people are lost. They're still in the bondage of sin. And here's the reason. They do not believe Jesus had the power to forgive men of all sins. And that's plural. There are still some sins there somewhere that you go to hell. That isn't true. Because Christ condemned sin in the flesh that God might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. And you don't believe in Jesus if you don't believe that he has the power to forgive you of what you basically are, a sinner who commits sins. So you're not really free. A person is not set free from the bondage of sin until this occurs. The Pharisees believed, but they did not believe that Jesus had power to forgive men of all sins, past, present, plus, future. And a person is not set free from the bondage of sin until this occurs, until they believe that Jesus has the power to forgive them of all sin. Why doesn't it occur? Why aren't they set free? For their security is not in Christ, but in a plan other than the one God gave in Christ. That's why. It's Jesus. Totally, completely, 100%, nothing else. You say, well, my mother's going to be in heaven and she doesn't believe that. No, she's not. You say, well, I don't care. No, she's not. And you better start talking to her while she's still alive. Some people want a mollycoddle preacher that'll just tell them everything they want to hear. I love people. You need to start talking to some of these relatives of yours that are running around all the time saying, well, I know Jesus forgives this, but he doesn't forgive that, because Jesus condemned sin in the flesh so that God might be just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. So my question is, bondservants to sin or bondservants to Jesus? Which are you? Galatians 4:3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. We were born under sin. We were born in bondage to sin. We were born bond slaves of the devil, and we were slaves to the sins in our flesh, and we had no alternative but to use our own conscience to fight against the sins in our flesh and in our fleshly nature, and we lost, and we lost, and we lost, and we lost because we were in bondage, sold under it, bond servants to sin. That's the way we were born. This is the bondage of sin under which we were born when we came into this world. We were in bondage under the elements of the world, Galatians 4:3. It is revealed to us when we try to obey God's commandments and fail miserably. And yet there are people who say, well, I've been saved and now I can keep them. No, you can't. There's no way you can keep the commandments of God. And they haven't learned what the law was given to teach them, that they were helpless. They still haven't learned it. This is the burden of sin that weighs us down. This is the bondage of sin under which we are born when we come into this world. It is revealed to us when we try to obey God's commandments and fail miserably. This is the burden of sin that weighs us down and separates us from God. This is the heavy yoke of sin Jesus alone takes from us. And some people just won't let Jesus forgive all their sins. They just won't let Jesus take their sins. They won't let him take part of their sins, but they feel a personal responsibility somehow to justify themselves before God. If I had to work to justify myself before God, then this preacher is hell-bound. I work before God not to justify myself, but out of love and gratitude and thanksgiving that someone loved me enough to set me free from the bondage of sin. Matthew 11:28. Here is the heavy yoke of sin Jesus alone takes from us. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me. Jesus said, you come to me. He said, I'm the one that's going to bear these sins. I'm the one that's going to take your sins. I'm the one that's going to be the determining factor as to whether you're forgiven or not. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We are born in bondage under the elements of the world. We labor under a heavy burden of guilt and sin. And then finally, when we realize how helpless we are by our impossible task of fulfilling the law, we come to Jesus helpless and ask Jesus to save us from what we are, believing that Jesus can take away our sins, plural. And then Jesus gives us rest and the assurance that he's in us and will never leave us nor forsake us. Not only is God just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus because Christ took our sins in his own body on the tree, but God tells us repeatedly, the just shall live by faith. So now, when a person comes to church regularly, when they give what they should give, and when they sit on these pews, and when they do the things they're supposed to do, they say, I'm a good Christian. Listen, the only reason you're doing it is because the just one lives within you. And the reason the just shall live by faith is because the just one is living in you, and he's the one that's leading you to do it, and all you're doing is going along for the ride. And if he's not in you, if Christ is not in you, and your life is not being lived by faith, then you're lost and headed straight for hell. Because the only reason I'm still preaching, the only reason I'm still teaching, and the only reason I'm still here is because Christ is inside me. I love Brent's devotional. One of the reasons the main reason I'm thankful to God is because if God had not opened my heart, if the Spirit had not convicted my heart, if the Spirit had not given me opportunity to express faith in Christ, and if Christ had not come to live in me, there is no way I could live by faith. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is when he takes the heavy burden in Matthew 11:28. This is the yoke we must trust Jesus to carry for us, to take for us. This heavy burden of guilt and sin is because you were born under sin, in the bondage of sin. This is the yoke we must trust Jesus to take for us, continue to carry for us, and never take up again to carry for ourselves. So many people, after they get saved, and some of these people do get saved in these other churches, and they're legitimately saved. But immediately the preacher and the rest of the people in the church start telling them, oh, no, no, no. Yeah, Jesus saved, but you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. And they want to go right back under the law and try to justify themselves before God for what? For their sins. And they think that now that I'm saved, now that Jesus has come in me, supposedly, then I'm going to do this and do this and do this and do this, and God will forgive my sins because I'm doing this. No. This is the yoke we must trust Jesus to take for us, continue to carry for us, and never take up again to carry for ourselves. Your sins are forgiven. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Jesus made me free. I didn't make myself free. He made me free. Why? Because he took my sins in his own body on the tree. And he won the victory over sin and defeated sin in the courtroom and died for me that his Father might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You came out from under it. Now don't go back underneath it and start saying, yeah, I know I'm saved, but I can lose my salvation if I do this, if I do that, if I do this, if I don't go to church, if I don't do that. No, if you are set free, you are set free. You are not set free to sin. But you are set free from the condemnation of God that was passed on sin, and God's Son stood in a courtroom and whipped sin and won the victory, and now you are dead to sin if you are trusting in Christ to forgive you of sins, all sins. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This is the yoke we are to take up after he has taken our heavy yoke of sin. Here comes the yoke we're to seek the kingdom of God, having been set free from the burden of unforgiven sin. If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a daily application of why God gave us the actual ability to be forgiven of sin by asking for sin, because Christ put to death sin and won the victory over sin. And now you don't have to worry about going to hell because of sin. You are to be concerned about sin in your life because now Christ is in you and he's trying to clean up your life and he's trying to get you to seek the kingdom of God, and you need to learn to follow him. Not to go to heaven, but because you're going there, and sin was put to death by that man on the cross so that one day you might claim a full inheritance in heaven. Matthew 11:29. You can't do this until after you've come to realize that God's Son died for you and put sin to death. and you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. God's Son died that sin might be put to death in your flesh, because He took it in His own flesh and justified you forever before God when you came placing your trust in Him. Matthew 11:29, then after you've done that and you realize how free He set you, you can't help but be grateful. Then He says, take My yoke upon you. You were under a yoke of bondage. You were under a yoke of sin. He said, now I've taken that. He said, you're free. What were we set free to do? To make a choice. Do I want to be a bondservant of Jesus? Or do I want to go back and be a bondservant of the world? You were set free to make a choice. It wouldn't have been a choice if you hadn't been set free to make it. He says, take My yoke upon you. It's not the yoke of bondage, of sin. It's His yoke. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And learn of Me. It means epi, from Me. He says, now come on. When do you take this yoke? When you go into those baptismal waters. When you make the commitment and decide to become a part of a local visible body and make your life count for something in God's service by the power of Christ in you. When you really start to learn what He has to say about your life and what the kingdom is all about. For I am meek and lowly in heart. He teaches you in a very meek, loving, kind, gentle manner. He's not harsh. He's not cruel. It's a very light cross. He wants you to learn to be like Him, to be a partaker of the divine nature. What is the partaker of the divine nature? God is holy. God is holy. God wants us to be holy. You say, well, I can't be as holy as God. I know, but you can be a partaker of His divine nature. You can make the effort. You say, but I've got sin in my flesh. You've been set free from the condemnation of God for that sin in your flesh that would have sent you to hell. Now start letting your new nature inside you lead you and live your life by the faith of Jesus Christ and become a partaker of His nature. Make something in your life worthwhile so people can see Christ in you. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And people wonder why they're so unhappy and so unmeasured. They've got to have a new car. They've got to have a new house. They've got to have this. They've got to have that. They think happiness is found in the things of the world. And happiness is not found in the things of the world. Happiness is found in serving Christ as His child after He, the just one, has justified you by the blood of His Son and given you a place to assemble and worship and praise God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you're not going to find any rest in that saved soul that God saved. Until that saved soul starts realizing that Jesus Christ is the most important person in your life and the church is His body, and you need to be there continuously every time the door is open. We become bondservants to Christ rather than bondservants to sin. That's what happens. And after we're saved, we can make a free choice. We're set free. And we choose whether we're going to be bondservants to Christ in one of His local churches, a very easy burden, a tremendous, wonderful thing. Or if we're going to go back under the burden of sin and go back to the world and want everything in the world and think that's where happiness is. Salvation in Jesus Christ is the way a person is set free from sin's condemnation, in order that he or she may seek the truth thereafter concerning the abundant life and God's kingdom presence. I know sometimes it may seem trite when I keep quoting that same scripture, in whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Can't you sense He's here? Can't you tell He's here? How do I know He's here? How do I sense it? His book, His word says He's here. That's why I keep preaching. That's why I keep teaching. That's why I keep coming over here. This is where Jesus is. He's assembled here. He's with us. He promised that He would build us together into a spiritual house for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Everybody always takes this and applies it just totally to salvation. Well, it does apply to salvation. But it applies to what the book of Acts calls several times the way. Look up that expression. It's got a definite article for expression, the way. Whenever they would talk about the people who were Christians, they would say, they are those of the way. And it's in the book of Acts several times. The way. What is the way? Well, they were already saved, so surely there must... Listen, there is a whole lot more to this than just being saved. Saved means you're going to heaven. Saved means you're born again. Saved means you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. But if that Spirit of God is in you and you don't follow that Spirit of God, then don't expect God in heaven to reward you and pat you on the back and tell you what a wonderful person you are for having received His Spirit, accepted Christ's victory over sin, being made dead to sin. You decided that you wanted to live your own life, your own way, and you went right back under the bondage of sin in the world, hoping that you could satisfy your flesh and give your flesh a little bit of pleasure. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood is enmity against God. And that's the whole problem that Adam had in the Garden of Eden. It was a sin in the flesh that God condemned. And it spread through his whole nature. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Most people say, well, I just wanted my kids to get saved. I just wanted to get saved. I just wanted to be sure I didn't have to go to hell. And that's the way, and I'm perfectly satisfied. And I've come to the Father through the Son, and everything's typical new and Tyler too. When this life is over, there isn't a single human being that's going to be in heaven that isn't going to want to live as close to Jesus Christ as he possibly can. But there are an awful lot of people now that don't believe all this because they don't show any effort. John 8:31-37. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. See this big if? If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. I'm not going to get through with this, but I'm going to make some dents in it. And Lord willing, before I'm finished, I hope by the grace of God, I can have made my point. I got a bunch of sheets and I'll never make all of them. The Pharisees believed. They believed. Lots of people believe all over this earth. They believe Jesus is the Son of God. They believe God sent him. The Pharisees believed, but they did not believe that Jesus had power to forgive men of all sins, past, present, and future. That's what most of the people meeting in these church buildings, that's their problem. They think Jesus forgives them of their past sins, but in the future they can do some things that will cause God to send them to hell. That is not true. A person is not set free from the bondage of sin until this occurs. For their security is not in Christ, but in a plan other than the one God gave in Christ. That was the problem with these men. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if, that's conditional, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. I believe indeed is a latheis, and I think it means, I know what the word means, and I think it's a latheis. I could be wrong about that, but I'm absolutely positive what the Greek word for indeed means. It means true. He says, then you are true followers. You are true believers. You say, well, you don't have to be a follower of Jesus after you're saved to go to heaven. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But Brother Mike, the just shall live by faith. Now, the life that you live may not produce very much, and it may just be your original profession of faith and very little else. But there is going to be something in your life that marks you somewhat as a follower, no matter how minuscule it may be. Oh, true, you're saved by grace through faith. But I guarantee you there's going to be something, at least for a while, that marks you as a child of God. I'm a fruit inspector, and if there's no fruit, there's something seriously wrong. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is the truth? What is this truth that people that are saved actually come to know? What is this truth they understand and accept? The Pharisees believed, but they did not believe that Jesus had power to forgive men of all sin, past, present, and future. They didn't believe. And that's what man's problem is. And that's why a lot of these people meeting this morning in church buildings are going straight to hell. Because they don't believe that Jesus can forgive of sin. And they're trying to justify themselves before God and get God to forgive their sins because of their own efforts. Now, Jesus begins to teach this group of men. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from the bondage of sin that Christ took in his own body, hung on the tree, and bore it, and buried it with him, and made us free from the law of death that is in the flesh, and the sins of our flesh, having taken our sins in his own body on the tree. He forgave you of all sins forever. And the moment you come and trust him as the sin bearer and the sin taker, and one who relieves you from under the condemnation of God, and you are set free forever, then you understand, and then you can know that you are saved. These men weren't saved. Oh, they believed. A lot of people believe. Now notice what their problem was. Verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. Oh, wait a minute. What is this? the flesh. They were direct descendants of Abraham in the flesh. A sperm came from the loins of Abraham, went into the womb of his wives, and out came a child. And then that child had relations with another woman, and another descendant came. First Isaac, then Jacob, then all of them. And they spread out of Abraham. They were the descendants of Abraham. They were the physical, fleshly descendants of Abraham. But that is the problem. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and the sin is in the flesh. And even after you are saved, there is still sin in your flesh. But God paid the price for that carnal, sinful man in your flesh. That's what he did. And he put it to death in the flesh. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How saith thou, ye shall be made free?" You've got to know what you are before God can justify you, because Christ came into the world to seek those which were lost. Who knew they were sinners? Who knew they were sinners in the flesh? Who knew they were lost? Who knew they were helpless? And then they asked him, "How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" They had no idea what he's talking about. You ever try to talk to somebody from one of these churches who believes you can lose your salvation? They, "Oh my goodness," they say, "you can't believe that." Well, that's impossible. And they're just absolutely amazed. They say, "Well, I'm surprised anybody could believe that." Why? Because they're trying to get God to keep on forgiving them of their sins by their church activities, by their prayers, by their giving, by their speaking in tongues, by their performing of miracles. And they say, "You know, I know Jesus is the Son of God." Listen, these people believed he was the Messiah. But they believed that the Messiah was someone who would come and merely be an assistant to them and help them and lead them. They didn't understand that God had to forgive sins, that God was the just one who was the justifier, and that there is no hope outside of Christ. They didn't understand the Messiah could forgive all sin. They went to hell. They were religious people. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you better get this straight in your life, because when you come to Jesus, he takes away all sin. He died for that. He paid the price for the sins in your flesh. It's over. They're there, and every day you're going to have to fight a battle with them, but that's over. He's paid the price for that. And so you need to keep fighting about it, asking for forgiveness, and going on. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." He was answering their question. He said, "Look here, you just told me that you were Abraham's seed." But he said, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." He said, "You're the servants of sin." Abraham was the servant of sin. Moses was the servant of sin. We're all born under the condemnation of God. We're all servants of sin. We're born that way, under the bondage and yoke of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. He's referring back here to the fact that you're not going to live in this house forever. He's referring to the fact that Abraham died. He's referring to the fact that Moses died. He's referring to the fact that those men couldn't help them, and they couldn't help themselves. But the Son abideth forever. The point is, the Son had to condemn sin in the flesh. The Son has to forgive sins in the flesh. Your flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There is wickedness, there is sinfulness, there is evilness in it. It is an enmity against God. It is an abomination to God. It cannot serve God. That's the problem. You cannot serve God in the flesh. So Christ died for your sins in the flesh and paid the full price. Now you don't have to go to hell. You get saved, and it bothers you all the time, and the flesh is there, and you say, "Surely, why? What? You mean I'm not going to hell, and I do all this, and I do all that?" That's why Christ died, because you couldn't do anything about it. And he died, and he abides forever, and he keeps forever, and he paid an eternal price. Verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Completely free. Disciples indeed. Free indeed. You know how I know that I'm a disciple? You know how I know I'm free? Jesus put my sins in the flesh to death on the tree, and he paid for all of them, past, present, and future, and I'm set free to choose who I will serve. And as for me and my house, we shall serve the house of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to be a bondservant to Jesus. I want to be a bondservant to God. I have a choice now. Even though I have a monster in my flesh that is a bondservant to sin, I don't have to follow the desires of the flesh. I can now follow the desires of the Spirit, and now I can walk in the Spirit. And that's what walking in the Spirit is. Not following the flesh, but following the implanted nature of Jesus Christ, the just one. And that is the only way to live by faith. And he's got to be inside you in order to do that. He said, "I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me." They were lost. Because my word hath no place in you. Why do you think the Catholic Church butchered, slaughtered hundreds of thousands of Baptists down through the dark ages? Why do you think we were so persecuted? Why do you think people still ridicule us and make fun of us because we try to obey our master? Why do we look at that as so narrow-minded because we try to observe the Lord's Supper the way he directed? Why are we so despised and look down upon a minority in the religious world? It is because we are the ones who believe the truth, and we have the truth, and we are not of the flesh, we are of the Spirit. And we are the ones who recognize we are sinners in the flesh and praise God's name because he sent his amazing grace and Christ died for our sins in the flesh. John 1:17. The law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God gave the law for a very definite purpose. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. What was the purpose of the law? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy might and all thy soul. You can't do that. The flesh is enmity against God. It's an abomination to God. So when you were little and you heard about the Ten Commandments and you tried not to lie, you tried not to lust, you tried not to hate, you tried not to steal, but you went ahead and did it anyway, pretty soon you knew something was bad wrong with you, and it taught you how sinful you were, and it brought you to Christ, and Christ justified you before God because Christ won the victory over sin in the courtroom and beat death and beat sin and put it to death. Now when you come to Jesus, as far as God is concerned, your sin in the flesh has been put to death, and there is no sin that can send you to hell. You're going to be punished for it. You're going to pay a price for it if you don't confess it. But there is no sin in the flesh that can send you to hell. Therefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. It doesn't mean we shouldn't continue to try and do what God wants. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't walk in the Spirit and try to obey the commandments of God. It means that now the schoolmaster has taught us the lesson. We've been set free. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We've been set free. When you finally realize, I've been set free, then you can say, I choose to serve God. And you can do it from a new heart. And you can make the choice to serve God because you've been set free to make that choice. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. John 8:33. We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. I still have an advocate. I still have sin in my flesh. My flesh still cannot serve God. My flesh is still an abomination to God. That's why the scripture says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There's a creature that lives in my flesh that is ungodly. The same man who wrote these marvelous scriptures is the same man who indicated he was the chief of sinners. He is the same man who in the 7th chapter of Romans cried out from the depths of his soul, desperately wanting to serve God. Listen, I desperately want to serve God. Who do you think that is in me that desperately wants to serve God? Who is it in you that wants to serve God? Who is it that bothers you all the time because your flesh doesn't want to follow? Who is it that makes you feel guilty all the time? Who is it that keeps trying to lead you on to serve God? It's the Spirit of God. That's who. And if you didn't have him in you, you couldn't follow God. But God now lets you know, I put sin in the flesh to death. Now, choose to follow me by the Spirit inside, and let's put up a battle before you die. Whosoever committed sin is a servant. I'm not a servant of sin. I'm a man who sins, but I have an advocate that lives in me. My little children, these things write I unto thee, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Plural, 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 plural for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's my advocate. He's the lawyer that won my case. He's the one that pleaded it. He didn't just pardon me. He wasn't like a governor or a president sitting in a high office that decided to pardon a man who was dead and pardon him from eternal damnation and death. He not only pardoned me, he justified me because he died for me and put sin to death by his life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, walking in the Spirit simply means to follow the Spirit rather than the flesh. It's God's will that every one of you follow the Spirit. If you've got the Spirit living in you, then that's the one who's always trying to get you to do what God wants. That's the one who's always trying to get you to be faithful in church. That's the one who's always trying to get you to give more, to do more. That's the one who's always bothering you because you don't pray enough. That's the one who's always after you. Don't get irritated at him. Just thank him that he's there. Because if he wasn't there, you couldn't live by faith. It's the just one in you that lives his life by faith again. So what's your role in all this? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Submit to him. Yield to him. Let him clean up your life. Let those things in your life that looked upon as sin by the world, not by the world, but by God, let those things be put away. Put on the new man. Cast off the old man. And fight every day against the sin in the world. He told him, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What he said next, very interesting. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of itself. Period. Then in that same verse, he said, sufficient to the day, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He said, every day there's evil in your flesh and in the world. He said, you get up every morning and you fight against it until the day you die. That's what it means to seek the kingdom of God. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Well, we're going to have an invitation. As the song leader comes, as the pianist comes, I've shown you God's Word. I had two more sheets. And I had a whole lot more to say. But I guess the Lord didn't want me to say that much, and he didn't have that much to say. So you've heard what I've got to say. And I prayed a lot about these messages, and I always hope, and I pray, and I trust God that he'll lead me and guide me and direct me, and that I won't commit error in his Word. Listen, you'll have no excuse at the judgment seat of Christ, nor will I. Because when we stand there, we're standing before God, and we've lived our life for the world, and we've followed the tenets of the flesh and everything in the world that's there that the flesh loves. We've succumbed to that and thought more of that, whether it's parents, whether it's business, whether I don't care what it is. We've thought more of that. We're going to be standing there before Jesus. And the question we're going to have to answer is this. I put sin to death in my flesh, and I made you dead to sin so that you could choose to follow me, and I came and lived in you. Now, why didn't you follow me? You can follow him. You say, well, I'm going to fail. I know. But that's why you've got an advocate with the Father. And that's why if we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what it means to seek the kingdom of God. And you can't walk in the Spirit, my friend, outside God's New Testament church the way God means for you to walk. You may try to do it, but you can't do it. You may think you're doing it, but you're not. What number, Johnny?
266.
Please stand.